All right, and we're back. We're live. Episode 31, the Contractor Compass Podcast. As promised, the boys are back in town, but we have a special guest as well. We got Brandon from New Age Air. Today, we're going to be just chatting with him a little bit. Open talk, but a little bit on branding is what I wanted to get into. Brandon's out of California, the Inland Empire location. Before me and him even started talking, dude, you were, like I just said a second ago, you were already doing a lot of video stuff. You were doing it well. You use your family, which is cool. People get like a feel for who you really are. Like you're going to have the effect of walking in the door. Hey, how are your kids? But before we get into that, give us just kind of an update or an intro to who you are, where you're at, the company, how it started.
Sure. Yeah. We, Southern California in the Inland Empire, Corona area, started technically 2016, incorporated in 2018, started because, you know, I had moral conflicts with the contracting world. I actually wanted to get out of it. I didn't want to do HVAC anymore because I didn't like just the, I guess moral conflicts is the most, is the nicest way I could put it. And it never even dawned on me I could do it myself until I had a mentor that I played baseball for in college. He was like, well, what are you going to do? I'm like, I think I'm going to go into the union and be an electrician. He's like, that's awesome. But have you thought about like doing your own thing? It dawned on me, you know, like I always have. I always knew that that's what I wanted to do. It just didn't seem tangible until you had somebody in front of you go, hey, you really just need to go A, B, C, D, E, F, G, and it all comes together. So in 2018 is when I thought I had enough information to go ahead and do it. And then from then to now, and it's been a blessing. We have a good team. We've bounced back and forth from commercial, residential, industrial. So I really say May 2024 is our first point of focus to now where we've decided we want to be residential service repair and install. And you know, you say I used my family. I didn't use my family. They're just
you use your family.
They're a part of it. And you know, it really dawned on me. You know, we used to send like Christmas cards to these giant corporation construction companies, and then like I'd call them and they don't even know who I am. Yeah. So it used to really just irk me. You know, I didn't like it. And then once we started getting some traction just organically in the residential space, I had that fire back. I was fulfilled again. So it was a no-brainer that between myself and my team, it's where we really wanted to be. So now we're predominantly residential service, repair and maintenance, repair and install. And that's what we're focusing. So that's New Age Air right now.
Just so really in 2018, not to cut you off, I was curious, and I don't even know if we chatted about this. In 2018, that was when you had to kind of, you're like, okay, let's do it. I'm going to jump in. And you said you were playing, I hear that, right? You're playing baseball in college. And was it your coach who said that you were going to go into electrical? And you're like, no. You know, just do your own thing. How did that transition happen? Right. Cause there's schooling to go to, there's, you know, how, like, what did that look like?
No. So I was playing baseball in 2012 and then we built the relationship and then I went and worked for another company.
Gotcha.
So I was working for a company from 2012, 2000 to 2016. And, that's when I had told him, hey, look, I think I'm going to segue and get out and go do this. And gotcha. That's when he was like, hey, you know, do whichever you want, but from my point of view, looking at you, that's you're not designed to be a 9-to-5 guy, and I don't think you're gonna like it. Because that was my thing. I knew I was supposed to be an entrepreneur, but you know, I was just about to get married. I never actually had a job at that point. To this day, I still never actually have had a job except for those four couple of years where I was doing the HVAC, kind of freelancing. It was a weird situation, but. He was actually the one who kind of just spoke confidence into me and was like, hey, look, I've been doing this a long time and you're not going to like being a 9-to-5 guy. So that's when I decided, all right, it's time to kind of move in confidence with this.
That makes sense. I was going to say, cause I was curious how that timeline worked and that those couple years in the industry, that's what kind of initially put a bad taste in your mouth. So you're like, I'm getting out. And then you kind of dove right back in on your own terms.
Right. Yeah. I mean, being a sports guy growing up, I am naturally born a leader and enjoy being on a team. So the company that I was working at was just locking horns constantly. And for me, It's just not, I don't do well like that. I'm very good at being cordial, but I also have a short fuse, I guess you could say. So living in a locked horns environment, you're just constantly burning the end of your fuse. And that's when I was like, oh, it's just got to be a better way. There's no way that all these companies are around and it's like this all the time.
All right.
So let me ask you real quick on in 2018. So you took 2 years to get yourself established or get set up or, you know, do any research you needed to do, I guess. So when you got into it and you're like, okay, now it's time to pull the trigger. It's time to kind of get the boots to the ground. What did that look like as far as your first year? How did you get it launched? What type of preparation did you do to get into it? Like marketing plan, you know, did you have background in that type of area on how to start a business or a mentor even?
Sure. So I had no experience in anything. First generation.
Love it.
Just kind of a knucklehead kid, but was always good at bringing people together. Yeah. You know, if I believe in something, like I'll die on the hill for it, you know? Yeah. So that was kind of the pinnacle, that was kind of like the main attraction to people around me. Like, hey, what are you doing? I'm like, I'm starting this HVAC company and like, we're going to be a great place to work.
Yeah.
And that's how it started. So I would have buddies go, oh, well, if you need any help, call me. So I was very much just grabbing anybody I could to get the work done. So I was install team, sales team, word of mouth was kind of the thing. I've always been a really social guy. So that was our marketing. You know, just telling everybody telling anybody that would listen, hey, I do HVAC now.
Yeah.
You know, we had enough traction in that. And that's what naturally got us into the commercial space. And I love the commercial space. I have a lot of love and respect for it. But even in that year one, I remember looking at it going like, how do we replicate this year in and year out?
Right. Exactly.
It's just kind of throwing out bids and hoping they pick you. You know, yeah. At least from my perspective.
Is that where you, sorry, I might have missed this, but sure. Is that where you started, was in commercial space?
Again, it was just wherever we could. So,
you're putting the feelers out there and pretty much what you were catching, you were just grabbing these jobs just to get something up and going.
Exactly. So we had some friends, neighbors, things like that who would let us install their systems. And then they would say, hey, I actually work at a warehouse and it never works. And then next thing I know, we're doing a crane lift or changing out a compressor. And the company I originally worked for was all commercial. So I had a lot of commercial TI install and technician experience.
Yeah, there it is. And then on that with the, experience, were you doing the installs all yourself or, cause were you in the location you are now? You're in Corona, right?
Right. So I started about 40 miles west of here.
Okay.
In a town called Whittier. And yeah, I was doing everything myself. I was the prototypical sole proprietor startup here.
You know, that's beautiful though.
I'm so grateful. And I really value my team because I started there. If somebody would have plopped me in this position, and you know, and you, every once in a while, I have to go back, not into the field, but go help. Just because if I was plopped in this position, I'd be like, man, it's noon and there's no furnace in the attic. We're like, what are these guys doing? You know, and it's so easy to forget or not know. Like, hey, there is, it's not all the same. Just because that one took till 11 a.m. doesn't mean
that
well. So it really is a blessing to start there. But yeah, I was the prototype of getting home at 10 p.m. and starting all over again at 5 and not having much of a social life. But I'd do it all again to get back here.
Correct.
Absolutely. Yeah. And then
Sure.
So when you got into it, because I know this is typically the format, and I know a lot of people listening, because we kind of try to target a lot of the smaller, kind of you're in your situation from the beginning, right? Those who are on their own, trying to get it up and going, you know, just tying their boots every morning, getting home at 10 o'clock to see their family, you know, and then laying in bed, not sleeping, losing the sleep because of the business, trying to get up. So for those people, and it's a very real thing, and you can even have a $5 million company, you're still losing the sleep, unfortunately. But in your situation, when you were starting out, and I know you're doing the commercial space and things like that, were you targeting more of the, I guess this would be maybe a commercial question or residential, were you targeting more of the install space or more of the service space? I know you're trying to get whatever you could get right. your hands on, but what would you say your more primary target was?
At the time, it was install. And I think that is like the big fish you chase.
Yeah.
Not really knowing that. And for me anyways, I had no concept of cash flow versus profit and loss. I just knew I would do the bid and go, okay, if it all works perfect, we can make X amount. Yeah. You know, and I didn't understand just the detriment of low cash flow. So if I was ignoring service to chase after these big contracts, to where if I could do it all again, I would have started with getting really good service traction and sticking there. That way, if we can sit there and kind of do and measure, because if you land a giant install, it's one giant install, you know, you can't really, it's hard to replicate that large ticket over and over and over again, to where if I would have focused on getting a base of people that I could have replicated the small repairs with,
we could have
operated in that confidence. Okay, well, at least we know we will do X, Y, and Z.
Yeah, because that's building your foundation, right? So that's typically where a lot of people say, and a lot of people do target that big they go after the install, right? Because they think, hey, listen, I don't need as big as a team, or, you know, it's the ticket's a lot bigger, the profit margin's a lot bigger, but also they don't understand the risk is a lot bigger.
Right. No. Well, and one thing I noticed that, and man, it's like embarrassing to say, but I don't think I noticed it until like the end of 2023. But the giant jobs for us anyways, because we weren't structured to do it correctly. I do believe there's a right way to do it. Mm-hmm. But for us anyways, kind of being the doing all things HVAC contractor, there was just no room for growth, because you tie up all your guys and then you don't control when the job starts. And they always start in like June. Like, hey, we need you here 60 hours a week from June to the end of summer, you know. And back when it was just my cell phone was the only number, there'd be days where I wouldn't answer like 10 calls. Wow. And then now looking back on it, I'm like, man, what would we have been if I had the discipline to go, no, like, I'm going to trust these guys. I'm going to trust these guys with what they're doing in the field. I'm going to sit down and answer all of these calls.
That's huge.
Oh my gosh. Now that we do answer every single call, like, what, right? California is a tough one, because during the winter, it's like comfortable. It's 72 today. People aren't kicking down the door for heater repairs. So we value each call. And I see how much traction you get just answering the phone and nurturing every little call.
Yeah.
That's the nugget right there.
Oh, man. Yeah. I wish somebody would have told me that earlier.
On that, so when you're...
You're welcome, everybody, just by the way.
Yeah, exactly. That's some grassroots stuff right there.
Yeah.
So on that, with you starting out, obviously in an aggressive market, what kind of, and you said, you know, you're just picking up anything you could, right? I mean, like you said, I was new to everything, right? What kind of pushback, or like, what was that like? How hard was that? I think a lot of guys fear that, you know, that are considering going out by themselves, is just getting the ball rolling, right? Mm-hmm. What did you do? Now, obviously you definitely have an upper hand with just your personality, right? You're extremely personable, easy to talk to, right? That helps a lot. But what kind of pushback did you get? And how hard was that to get those first couple things rolling? How hard is it to build that little momentum that you had? A lot of guys can't do that. What did that look like?
Yeah. No, it was tough. One, I had two things working against me. I didn't have any history in it, you know, so I wasn't able to say, hey, I've been doing this since I was 12 with my dad, and correct, we're just a new company. And I was young. At the time, I was 25 and I didn't have a mustache. I looked young. So I think the biggest thing that helped is, like I said, once I decide like this is what I'm doing, I'm confident in it, and you can never convince me otherwise that it's not what I should be doing. So being able to have pictures where somebody goes, I don't know, the other company, just they had this, and I didn't have financing at the time. They had financing and they have a shop. I was able to kind of carry around pictures of my jobs, and I had screenshotted texts of customers going, hey, feels great in here. You were awesome. That guy that you had with you was really polite. So any little piece of validation I could get my hands on, I like had to have it in my pockets. You know, so I think you don't have much to use,
Correct.
And I think that, so one thing I tell my guys all the time is if you're getting a whole bunch of pushback on closing a deal on the back end, it's because we didn't do a good enough job creating value on the front end. You know, and now we have all this value we could offer because we have guarantees and we have a shop and we have this glowing reputation as just being quality, you know, but even then there's always something, you know.
Correct.
Nobody wakes up with nothing under their belt. So if you're not like a glowing personality, you're probably in this because you're really good at the technical stuff. And if Correct. You can display some of that value in whatever you have to offer, I did do it, but I wish I would have done it more aggressively. I wish I would have had a binder, you know, just something I can go, hey, look, I know I'm young and I know we're new, but check this out. We're good. And we're here to stay. And one thing I did tell a lot of people, and it helped us with a lot of customers who were kind of on the fence of using a new guy, but just let them know, hey, like, I'm young and we're new, but I have to do this for the next 30 years, 40 years. Me getting over on you today doesn't help me tomorrow. You know, like, Correct. I want to be here to stay. And sometimes you just got to say it. People, that's common sense, but sometimes you just got to say it. Like, hey, look.
Address it. Yeah.
Yeah. I need you to like me. I'm going to do everything I can to get you to like me and like my business.
Correct. I think that's a golden nugget because we've pinpointed, like I said, we both just kind of touched on your personality, I think, does a lot for you. And you mentioned a lot of guys are where they are trying to transition into starting that company because they're really, really good at what they do. Mm-hmm. 90% of them do not have the side that you have, right? The personable side, mm-hmm. right? A lot of them do not. So to be able to show, you know, even guys with, you know, large companies, right? So even in the short time that we've worked together for them to grab a camera and get in front of it is impossible, right? So that's just something that you have that other people don't. But I think you hit that was kind of a golden nugget in terms of like use the things that you have. If you do phenomenal work, carry a freaking binder with that work in it. And then the reactions from the customers, like you might not be the most fun guy to talk to, but that will speak volumes. And I think that will help a lot of people as well.
Yeah. We actually have we have one of our techs who's our lead tech, and he's naturally a quiet guy. He's not going to walk in the room and light it up. And he's not going to be like the guy you gravitate to at like the barbecue. You'll leave like the end of the day liking him. Yeah. But I tell him all the time, like, Daniel, I don't need you to go into people's homes and act like me because you'll look foolish. Just like I met you and I liked you. You know, you have something about you that people will like. So just let that be it. You know, you're calm. You're well-spoken. You speak methodically. You know, you don't rush through things. So like, let that be your strong suit. When you can tell a customer is confused or you can tell they have a lot of questions, you're like the knight in shining armor. You're the guy who is really good at walking them through that process. You know, everybody's got a strong suit. And the worst is when they try to be somebody else. So 100%. Like you said, if you got something that you're good at, because you just come off so corny.
Yeah,
you know?
For sure.
So I really think that anybody with the right coaching can display their strong suit and win people over. You know, it's why shy people have great friends. Talkative people have great friends. You know, if you're just out there being yourself, people are going to like you.
Yeah. Correct. Especially when you're face-to-face in the home, you know.
Yeah.
People are going to pick that out.
When you attract those type of people as well. So you got your first year done, right? So you go through your whole first year. Everything's kicking off.
Right.
Still figuring a ton of, I mean, we're always figuring stuff out, even to this day. What would you say after your first year and you're like, okay, now we're tackling back into 2019. We're going to go, and these are some of the things we're going to change. These are a few things we're going to implement this year. And not specifically, but what would you say your first year on revenue you did on like a bracket? Like, were you between 250, 500, 100, 250?
Yeah, I would say 2019, we were probably right around like the 500 mark.
Yeah. So that's really good. That's pretty typical in being out in California. I mean, you guys got a lot of big players out there, especially where you are now. And so that's really good. But one of the big things that does separate, obviously, sound like yourself that I can hear definitely coming through is going to be the quality and the personability. With the customers, which a lot of the bigger players, they lose that touch. They try to convey it. So many people, it's kind of like the school of, you know, hard knocks, right? They teach it.
Right.
7,500 people go out, and it's kind of tough to track it. So, I mean, you can measure it only so much, but
right.
But so now you're going into 2019. What would you say the biggest lessons from your first year was? And I know you've spoken on a couple of them that we've definitely had some takeaways on, but to implement now into your second year, for somebody who's saying, "Hey, man, I've done some of them things. This is kind of where I'm at now, and I feel like I'm a little bit stuck."
Right. You know what? I would say that I was such a head down, work hard guy from 2019 to honestly like mid 2023 that I'm still looking back right now and able to start now recognizing, man, I wish I would have done this better. Yeah. You know, or I wish I would have done this sooner. So one of the things that I never liked that I do now that I wish I would have done back then, because like I said, we've done this, you know, now we're residential, now we're commercial, now we're residential, now we're commercial.
Yeah.
And it was good. You know, we've learned a lot. We're still around, but it's been counterproductive to scaling and growing and solidifying.
Yeah. Consistency is key.
Oh my gosh. So one thing I do now that I wish I would have done back then is I map out goals and what we're doing and why we're doing it. Cause
that's a big one.
I used to think it was like the most corny thing. I read these books, and I'm like, I'm not writing.
He's got a vision board on his desk.
Yeah. Yeah. Or you see that one, right? There's an ad out there where there's this this old man, right? And he's speaking to, I think, a bunch of college students. He says, "Here, you guys have to do this. You need to start writing out." And he has a piece of paper, and he says, "If you do this and you follow it, you'll be successful in whatever you put on this paper." And it's exactly that: putting your goals down, following your goals, and tracking your progress to achieve each one.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. Well, if you don't see the end result, you're not going to get there, right? So you have to have some sort of vision.
Well, what you think about, what you bring about.
Yeah.
There you 100%. Go. Yeah, and it's one of those things where it helps you start to kind of push aside the things that aren't contributing towards moving the ball forward. You know, you start going, "Oh man, they want us to do this mega church." And you're like, "Well, hold on. Like, that's awesome. That's a huge ticket, but that's just like momentary satisfaction. It's not pushing the ball in the direction that we're supposed to be going. And there's nothing wrong with going and doing that mega church, but it's not what you are trying to do. You're just getting distracted."
Yeah. Correct. A little shiny object syndrome. And Jace, if this is going to tail us off what you were just going to ask, please feel free to cut in. But
No,
I'm curious, so how easy or how difficult was it for you to go from the guy who does everything to now the guy who has to lead people into doing everything, right? Because you mentioned earlier, you're like, "I rarely go into the field unless they need help," right? So how hard was that to become? That's a very different type of person. And a lot of times that evolution doesn't happen, and that's why that owner is always in the field, because they cannot manage the team. How hard was that?
It was hard. It was hard in the sense that I now had to go and do things that I don't particularly like to do.
Yeah.
But in the sense of trusting somebody, I really did, and I'm not like patting myself on the back, but I poured myself into the guy that I was going to trust. I trained him really well. He went on countless jobs with me. We worked side by side together. And I told him from the beginning, "Hey, I'm not here to beat you up, but I'm trying to do something here, and I don't have forever to do it. I need to condense everything I've ever learned into like 2 months of training with you."
Correct. So,
like, I'm not trying to be rude. I'm not trying to beat you up. And if you ever feel like I'm doubting you, just remember, you like the reason we are doing this because I believe in you.
Nice.
So you know what? That handoff actually went well, and he's my operations manager now. He was like he went from being my lead tech to my foreman to my like install lead. We've bounced him around, and now he's operations manager, and he'll rise as high as I do in this company.
Correct. You know? How did you find that person?
And everybody pause what you're doing.
Oh man. Don't ask me that question again about the post we posted. I think I found a new way of finding people, but the way I found him, we played baseball together.
Oh,
and
nice.
He had hit me up to work. He had hit me up to work a couple of times, and I was like, "No, man, I don't think like he's cut out for this." Hit me up again to work. And like, he was hitting me up for like a year. And then one day I'm driving my truck. I'm like, "Oh my gosh, I just need help. Like, I'm just like stretching my limits, people are calling me, like, I'm gonna start working Sundays. And then he had texted me again, and I was like, in the middle of like this, like throwing this fit in my truck. I was like, oh man, all right, God, like, I hear you. I'll give him like the booming voice from the clouds kind of moment. I'm like, all right, I'll give him a shot. And we joke about that story all the time today, because it's been like one of the best decisions I've made. And if anybody out there is listening who's about to make the decision, it's not going to make sense. You're not going to be able to put it all on paper where it seems like a surefire decision. You've got to move in a little bit of faith. I think that's really the difference between the guys who go from being sole proprietor to corporation and then hopefully someday enterprise, is at some point you have to move in faith and just confidence. Like, okay, this will work. We'll iron out whatever comes along, but this will work.
Yeah, put it on the line. Yeah.
It's that thing, they always have the saying, right, the leap of faith, but then it always brings back to a time when my grandpa, when I was little, and he looked at me, he was a gambling man, right? And he always said, man, he's like, you can't gamble with scared money. And I was like, oh, hold on a second. I said, well, grandpa, you're broke. he goes, but I ain't scared. I said, okay, I see where we're going here. And the thing was, and I knew, now I know what he meant. Back then I was like, golly, he's a dummy, or he drank too much. But super, super smart man. But what he was saying is that the thing is he's not going to quit, right?
Right.
And to keep going back at it, you're going to run into these obstacles. And I do, in my consulting business, I've come across business owners consistently fear. I mean, they literally remind me of, you know, somebody curled up in a corner. And they're so scared of making any move, or if they have a bad month, or a lot of times it happens though with second generation, third generation owners, because they don't know what it takes, that grit and that grind that it takes for somebody like you to start it from the ground up and understand that you're going to have a couple of reds. But I think that's huge. And I think also too, one question that I would say is, can you look back on any point to where kind of like that aha moment, right? That moment where it was like, really kind of starting, the wheels got greased now. You're like, okay, now we're getting that momentum. Now we're starting moving that direction. And it was because of either a decision you had made, or direction you had went, a hire that you brought in, right? Was there any point that you said, okay, I feel like I'm a little bit over the hump here?
Yeah, it's when we hired our third field guy. And it's when I had realized, so we had my first guy ever who still works for me, it was always kind of like a helper. He is a phenomenal installer. He'll figure anything out. He could figure anything out. He could build any sort of transition. He's amazing. But he's made it very clear, hey, I just want to install. I don't want any responsibility. I don't want to take home vehicle. So I still had a lot on my plate with him. And then we brought on JJ, who is who I was referring to, who's kind of been through every tier in the company. And that was great. Those two team paired up. And then we brought on the third guy in about 2020, we brought on the third guy. So it took me some time. I was tiptoeing around it. You know, I was scared. You hit the nail on the head. You're scared. You can't imagine what that other side of it all looks like. And you just lay in bed, think about how it can go wrong. So once I had finally decided, you know what, like I'd rather, you know, it's a saying that like they say in my family, like you'd rather die on your feet. You know, so I was like, all right, I'm just going to go for it. I know what it takes. I know what it takes to do it on myself. And if I need to, I could bail us all out. Like I could put the bags back. So when we hired him at that was the first time where it was like, man, I've got two guys over here installing and then this guy's over here fixing stuff. You know, this is nice. Like I can sit and go, okay, we need to get collared shirts. I started seeing things that I was just kind of like this. I looking down, not paying attention, just rhinoing forward. And the next thing I know, I'm like, man, we need to find a new wrap guy. We need collared shirts. Nice. Like we're working a lot of overtime. Like, I wonder what's going on. I wonder if we can make this go a little better. And it dawned on me like, oh man, I'm starting to work on this. I'm starting to work on our systems here.
Correct.
And that was a big aha moment, because that's when we started making money. We were always profitable. We've always been profitable because we were so small in the beginning.
Yeah.
But it was one of those where I'm like, man, how efficient can I make this? And it really did become fun. You're starting to become like the strategist of it all.
That's it. And the operations start to open up a little bit more. You start to look at the operation side of thing opposed to just the grind.
Yeah. And you essentially switched your entire position in the company, right? Like, yeah. I mean, really, that's
what I deal with an awful lot of contractors, and the thing that I see on the small one truck chucks or the Pete in a pickup or what have you guys is the owner is the technician with the company checkbook in his pocket. And right. He's like, he knows how to fix and repair and replace and all that. And he's scared to do what your transition was, which basically was start handing off to your staff and you be more of the owner, manager, entrepreneur type situation. And God bless you for that, because I run into an awful lot of dealers that just can't get out of that. You know, they got the tool belt on and the company checkbook, and it's almost an oxymoron. It's like, you know,
absolutely
you need to be the owner and guide your staff, teach them what you know, and make sure that they're giving good customer service. And that we talked about that a little bit last time, but I applaud you for making that transition, because it's not an easy one.
100%. Thank you. You know, Go ahead,
Ray.
No, I did hit a point once we were really rocking and rolling and we were starting to grow, and we were thinking about bringing on another guy. I felt convicted for not passing the baton a lot sooner.
Yeah.
You know, I started to realize, like, man, now my guys, instead of making 15 to 20 bucks an hour, like they're starting to do more and they're starting to handle more. And now I'm paying him, you know, 25 bucks an hour, 30 bucks an hour. And it kind of dawned on me, like, I got in this to help people. And yeah, we're helping our customers. We're being fair. We're being honest. But I was kind of neglecting the fact that my job is to create a place that people could work forever. You know, and you can't work forever if it's only making 15, 20 bucks an hour, because somebody won't pass you the baton. So I was really standing in the way of everybody. And I did feel convicted once I got out of the way and I saw, you know, my guys starting to grow their personal lives and starting to be able to put money away and start Roth accounts. It's like, man, this should have happened a lot sooner. So that is like one of the, if you're not getting fulfillment from your guys, if it's just kind of like locking horns a little bit, you may be missing something on that end, where it's like, you always feel kind of called to help people, and the guys that are helping you the most, you're kind of neglecting.
Well, one thing I do try to tell, and you kind of hit the nail on the head there for a minute. One thing I do talk to a lot of my, I guess you would say, the employees when I get into these companies, is especially small businesses. You guys are providing a space for these individuals. Like it's you're not required to, right? You don't have to do this. And a lot of them do like to try to stay chucking the truck. But when you go ahead and you take on the sleepless nights, right? You take on the stress with the family that you got to bring home. I've known an owner who was married three times because of the stress that a company brought, right? You know, and it caused a lot of conflict. But at the end of the day, I talk to my employees, because sometimes the entitlement will come through, unfortunately, from employees. And I say, hey, listen, you're working for somebody who's taken all of the risk and shouldering all of that for you to give you an opportunity to have a good Christmas, to have good birthdays with your family, to provide for those and food on your table. So I do always try to bring that, and that always comes good from a third party, right? Not from the owner. It's a good conversation as a reminder to individuals that, hey, and this is one thing to you, that maybe not a lot of people say, but it's definitely a thank you to you for what you do for your community, because that is providing that outlet or that resource for these individuals to have a good life.
Thank you. That's good to hear. Absolutely.
100%. Something that we need here. I was going to say, Jace, when Brandon was talking about being able to see, you know, in terms of the lack of growth, but hindering his own growth by not passing the baton, like he said, we need to get I don't know if you guys ever watched Brad Lee's podcast, but we need a drop in bombs button, because that was a little bomb right there. I was like, golden nugget is coming. We're going to have to get a little bomb. I'm going to have to work something out. But it's a lot, right? To take on a team and especially when it does start to click, that's like, okay, well, we're trying to build something here that people really enjoy to work at, and not only can enjoy, but can earn well for their family and have a forward path of progression that they can see. Some people need that, right? Like they're like, and you know that everyone sitting here knows this. Like, so there's some players on your team that if they don't have that forward vision of how they can progress through the company and through the ranks and take on more responsibility and earn more, they will leave if they do not have that.
Right.
You know, because it's just the type of person, and that's the type of person you want. So you don't want to sacrifice. You don't want to sacrifice that by not giving the opportunity or giving them the opportunity to perform to even make more if it is a monetary thing or whatever. Because you'll be surprised. I mean, I was just talking about this with some of my friends in the space, and we were just looking at different comp structures for different team members. And, you know, I said, you know, we do for account management, we do like a almost like a profit share structure, if you will, just because they're everything, right? They talk to, like, I mean, Brandon, you know this more than anything, right? Like they have to be the person that's there for you. If you're spending thousands of dollars and you can't get a hold of someone, you're going to be pretty pissed, right? So they're so important. So it's like, we have to be able to just give them that vision, to where they can take some ownership as well. You know, and they can kind of treat it like that. With that being said, I'm curious, right? We've kind of touched on, you know, where, how it all started, what you went through, you know, the market's aggressive, you know, you were new to everything. What does the future look like in terms of, like, what are you, because everybody has different goals, right? In the way that you made it sound like earlier, it sounded like maybe this is something you plan on keeping for a very long time. What does that look like for a new age and for you in the future as the company continues to grow?
Yeah, right now, and without sounding too like over the top corny, I do have like a really deep passion for trying to lift guys up in the company. You know, obviously I'm not going to like pretend like I'm not here to grow my personal life as well. Oh, but man. You know, I'm again, team guy. As soon as somebody's on my team, I'm like, hey, like, where do you live? Like, who do you live with? Like, what do you drive in? You know, what do you like to do? What do you like to do for fun? And I really want to help these guys move forward. Like, one of our guys sitting in the other room, Naveed, young daughter, he's trying to figure out where he wants to move. I'm like, man, if we were farther along, maybe we could pay him more. Maybe he could buy a house right here. So for me, I would my next 3 years, I do want to double my company. I want to create at least 4 more manager spots that are 100 grand plus. Yeah. We live in Southern California. You know, you can't make 60 grand here. And that's a lot of money, you know?
Correct.
Yeah. You have to make more. I want to have at least 5 techs that make over 100 grand. So that would put us like right around 10 employees that make 100 grand plus.
Yeah.
That's beautiful.
So awesome. Yeah, that's my 3-year goal. My 5-year goal is to get to 10 million in revenue at 25% net profit. So in the immediate, we are grinding away at creating systems for like every little thing. Scripts for the phone, scripts for, you know, training on how we knock on a door, where you park. We're just going through every little thing. Because I'm trying to envision it as mini companies. So now with 5 field employees, 1 manager, 1 CSR, and then myself, who's acting as essentially a general manager, JJ's lights out. So there's not a whole lot I do in that aspect, but I am filling that role for now. I see it as like a mini company. Like, okay, if we can stamp and print this, then we can get to this goal.
Correct.
So, absolutely.
Yeah. So the long term is that $10 million mark.
Yep.
And then evaluate. If all of my guys who are my core team are just like, hey, let's go forward. You know, we don't have an actual board of directors, but I really value these guys' opinion. Really value what it is they want to achieve. And if everybody's like, hey, let's go. Let's just keep going, then I'm not the kind of guy who's gonna stop. If all my managers who I love and care about, I love and care for their families, their kids, if they're like, hey, I'm challenged, but like, this is good for me. If everybody there votes, hey, this is good for me, then we'll see if we can get to 30%. I'll start focusing on the efficiency. But I got a feeling with my team, we'll keep going after 10.
Nice. That's awesome. I'm not gonna lie, man. I really thought when I saw the mustache, it was gonna be a plumbing business, but But when you said HVAC, man, I was taken by it. I was like, okay, man, I got this.
Is mustache a plumbing thing?
It's more of a Mario thing, but it is. I got three little ones, so it was the first thing that came to mind when I saw it.
That's so funny, dude.
I love it. Now, the great thing is, though, right, is a lot of companies, they say, hey, listen, how do we get to that? And I'll talk, because I've worked with some, you know, big ones that do, you know, $500 million a year, and I've worked with the smaller ones that are still at $125,000 a year. And right. I've sat down and picked the brains of everybody. And nobody, just because you make $500 million a year, doesn't mean that you're smarter than the other one. Just means that either you were well-positioned, had really good contacts, is typically what I find out. But one of them actually was a pretty smart individual, very philosophical. But I did ask him. I said, hey man, I said, we're a super nice guy. I said, how'd you get to where you are now? Because he blows everybody out of the water in his area. And he had only been around for 30 years at this point, and he was already up at quarter million a year mark. And I said, all right, man, I said, how'd you get here? And he says, man, he's like, you can either grow organically, or you can grow by acquiring. Mm-hmm. And I said, okay, man, everybody aims for the 10 million mark, right? Because as a consultant, I always get that when I walk into someone's company, hey, man, I want to get to 10 million. Mm-hmm. Okay, this is what we got to do. But the big thing was really for them is, hey, man, I feel like I'm tapped out doing HVAC all the way. So for you, have you ever thought in your mind something like that? Do I bring plumbing on, right? Do I add some type of other service to the business? I feel like I got this mini business going right now. Do I add something like that to maybe open up a little bit more on the revenue side?
Absolutely. So yeah, no, I've thought about it.
Indoor air quality is easy to add. I said indoor air quality is easy to add if you're not already doing that.
Oh, yeah.
And then adding ventilation and hot water heaters.
Yeah.
There you go. Yeah. So I'm a bit of a dreamer. So I always see, you know, cars that or vans that have air conditioning, heating, plumbing, and electrical. I'm like, well, we could do that. Like,
yeah.
But I do have to stop myself and remember that I have to dial this in first.
Yeah.
In the residential service and install space, it is pretty easy to template it all. You know, and the trade is kind of what can be plugged in. So I want, like, out of being respectful and protective of my team and my company and my family and just our work-life balance, once I can make this run efficiently, and I know, hey, once I have five guys here, three guys here, four guys here, we can do X, Y, and Z, then I think once I hit that point, I would want to experiment with plugging in a different trade.
Yeah. Nice.
So I would. Long answer short, yes. Yes, I would.
Nice. So my last question, because I know we're running out of time, but how'd you come up with New Age? How'd you come up? I love finding out how people come up with their branding.
You know, the way we were doing it, my wife and I were watching like Netflix on the couch, and I had a notepad and I was just writing down different names. And my wife is like an absolute sweetheart, like doesn't cuss, doesn't raise her voice, like just a sweetheart. And I remember like, hey, what do you think about this? And she's like, that's stupid. And then I just kind of go down the line. I'm like, what about this? She's like,
you circle it. You're like, that's the one.
I was just going through a bunch of them, and she was like, that's pretty stupid. I'm like, all right, easy. Like, I'm trying. And then I think New Age was the first one. She was like, that's kind of got a ring to it, and it's short, New Age.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I kind of like that one. And I was like, that's all right, I guess. So I kept going. And then the more that I looked at it on the piece of paper, I was like, oh man, I do like New Age. It's pretty cool. And it kind of stood for what I wanted to do. But before I knew the colors or anything, I knew that I wanted people to do work with us and go, dang, those guys are sharp. Like I wanted one thing that my old boss always fought me on, like, hey man, like we could streamline this by doing this. And I'm not like a brainiac, but I'm like, man, it would be nice if we could send a GPS tracking so they would stop calling me every 30 minutes seeing where I am. It'd be really nice if we sent booking confirmation so they didn't call us at 10 p.m. the night before. You know, but it was always kind of like, it's a waste of money. We're not doing that.
Yeah.
So I was like, man, I want it to be different. I want it to be like cutting edge. I want it to be easy. Like, I want it to be convenient. So I remember thinking like, oh, new age convenience with traditional work ethic. And I'm like, oh, yeah. Man, we're new age there. Yeah.
That's sick.
That's beautiful. Yeah. We actually have a whole episode on, I don't want to say, I don't even know if we did call it new age, because so we might have a copyright there, but but I would say on the podcast that we did, we talked about how companies need to step in, honestly, to a new age of technology, presenting themselves, going about it a little bit different, because that's what a lot of people do like is that new side of things, technology. And you can go back to the psychological thing of the new iPhones, this, that, you know, everything, right? Yeah. But there's definitely a streamline, not just in processes to do things, but a way to set yourself apart by just 100%. Adding a few extra things out there.
Oh, man. And it's one of those things where you take for granted the things that you build yourself and put and implement. It kind of just seems easy and you get used to them. I have people all the time going, hey, how do you do that dispatch link? Like my uncle owns a plumbing company. Like, how do you guys do your booking confirmation? Like, hey, how do you set up those bios? Man, you could start a business just door knocking on small plumbing companies, HVAC companies, go, hey, I want to like retrofit your outfit here and like, bring it up to date. Because it is one thing that we get so much good feedback on. Like, man, I love that I get a bio of the guy who's coming to my door the day before he's here. You know, I love that I can see where your tech's driving, you know, as he's coming to my house. And they're just so simple. They're little like 1% add-ons that people go like, hey, did you get your thing fixed? Like, yeah, it was great. This company was like really cool, really easy to work with. I knew exactly who the guy was.
Correct. I think over time, as you scale, the good clientele that you're working with, that'll just, your word of mouth will be 10 times more, right? Because you do stand this apart in those, even if they're just little things, right? Because that's what good customers want to deal with, right? It's rare that you're going to show up to a pain in the ass customer, right? Who you know, really, really cared about all these things, right? Or whatever, right?
Right.
It's that person that you want to work with.
But you got to think too, just to touch on that before you skip over it, is if you're a smaller, and that's why I try to instill in everybody, if you're a smaller company and you're trying to compete with the bigger ones, doing small things, those 1%ers, nobody else is doing, is going to make you look so much bigger than what you are. And that's where that, you know, people do trust that, right? They automatically give you, it's almost like they give you a handicap, right? You know all about that, Colton and Gulf. So they kind of give you,
shut up. Not to interrupt here. Brandon is a better golfer than me by slightly a little bit.
I won a golf tournament on Saturday.
This guy's nasty.
Nice. That's awesome. That's amazing. I don't golf at all.
Dig, Jason. I don't appreciate the dig. Thank you.
I'm not built for golf. Meaning I don't. I drive the golf cart. But anyways, so the thing is it kind of gives you that handicap to be able to be in front of, well, I should say this, sorry. The bigger companies kind of automatically get that handicap just because of the size that they are.
Right.
Because automatically someone says, hey, you have 65 employees, immediately that trust factor, confidence level, everything goes up in the customer, right? It's almost like it's built in, which kind of stinks to an extent. But then as a small company, if you can do small things, those 1%ers, that can put you in the same league as them when you could be, you know, falling short everywhere else. So I think that's huge.
I agree 100%.
Cool. Well, and I did.
Go ahead, brother.
Yeah, no, I really sat down. I read a lot. I did a lot of studying. And I couldn't get away from this one part of the studying that I kept coming across where it's like, hey, the new generation of homeowners and even kind of the boomers have switched how they shop. You know, we're in the generation and the era of like, I'm okay paying for value. And I at first I was like, well, we're just gonna like gouge people. And I didn't really understand it. And the more I dug and I read a couple of really good books, like HVAC specific books. And it wasn't like, hey, I'm just gonna tack on an extra $100 because I can. You know, it's no, I'm gonna build value on my company. The little 1%er things, the boot covers, the nice trucks, the well-spoken guys, the presentations, the guarantees. You know, and it's not gouging. It's you are a premium product at that point. It's the difference between going to Red Robin and going to Fleming's. And once I kind of got my head wrapped around that, I was like, okay, I want to do everything I can to be a premium product. And it needs to be convenient at that point.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's key,
that's
man.
Killer. All right, guys. Well, I know we're to our limit here that we allotted for the call. Last thing I will say, and if you have anything, Brandon, any last golden nuggets for guys that are not where you're at now, Mm-hmm. But where you were at in 2018, 2019, just any final comments on those guys that are trying to figure it out, they're trying to get momentum, they're trying to take the jump, they're trying to, anything that you would tell them that is just easy to see, hey, this is my advice.
Yeah, write it down. I thought it was a waste of time too, but the old saying of if you don't run the business, it will run you happens. And it's not that it's gonna take all your money and beat you into the dirt, but next thing you know, you're like, whoa, we're doing random HVAC tasks and we totally got away from what it is we got in this business to do.
Yeah.
You know, I've actually seen it where it's like, oh, well, we kind of do plumbing now. I'm like, well, you're an HVAC business. Like, yeah, well, we got this customer and they needed us to do some plumbing. I'm like, well, that just makes you like their employee. Like, you're not a customer. Right. Like, you know, so write it down. You gotta drive the ship. You know, you need some sort of map. Yeah. So write it down. That's the most simple thing I can give to take away.
That's literally perfect. Yeah, that's
and what it's okay to say no.
Yeah. Right. Uh-huh. Oh, we could do awesome. A whole other podcast on that.
Yeah, exactly. All right, guys. Well, we'll wrap up the live here. If for guys that are listening, a lot of gold nuggets here. So go back, re-listen. This will be obviously on YouTube and all that good stuff, the video side of things, and then obviously audio everywhere else. And we will see you on the next one.
All right, guys. Thanks for having me.